And we're back again. It is always good to be here. So refreshing to come back and see my brothers and sisters in Christ and be with my family. It's something special. It should be special to all of us who are members of this church. And if you're visiting, I pray that you see that specialness that God has placed within this church. And most of all, that we love the Lord. And he is supreme in not only our lives, but within this church, that we proclaim him throughout the town around us. We are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. This morning I talked about the subject on this do, and how that as individuals, we hate to do that which is told. And we always fight against it. When we're told to do something, we want to do things our way, not what others say. But tonight, we're going to talk sort of on the opposite way, and I've titled this message, Walking to Please Him. And it's more of our search in pleasing others around us and how that we should walk to please Him. So a little different. We can have both those things in our life, and we do have both of those things in our life, our inability to submit to those that know better for us and do what they've told us to do, and yet also a desire and a hunger to please those around us, and we'll get into that. Before we do, let's ask God's blessing again. Father, again, as I come before you, I always want to remind myself that in your word you've told me over and over that without you I can do nothing. So right now, I ask that you would forgive me for my sins, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, that would hinder this word from going forth, that would hinder you blessing these people here today and us as your children from receiving what you would have for us, that you would work through us, Lord, as a vessel for the hour, that you would put me aside and that your Holy Spirit would work through me and give us what we're in need of. That we might walk out of here truly saying it's been good to be in the house of God. Forgive us for our failures, Lord. Be with those that aren't able to be here as they're sick and Lord, ill. And we just pray as a great physician that you would find glory in healing. And we'll be careful to give you the praise and glory and the honor. Lord, we also pray that if there's one lost here without Christ, that would see salvation come to their soul before it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 7 says, Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that all as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, given you your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. I brought a message on that part, on how to possess our vessel. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And the focus of tonight's message is truly, I read that for context, but it's truly on verse 1. And that is, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God. How we should walk and to please God. Tonight I want to talk about walking to please him. Walking to please him. You know, not too long after we're born, there's an innate desire to please those closest in our life, starting with our mother, you know, who brings us into this world pretty much. And then our father, you know, but there's nothing like when a child is first laid into the mother's arms after they come out of the mother's womb. And there's a bond that is unlike any other bond. And the desire of that child from the beginning of time of coming out is to please their mother, to make sure that their mother is happy with what they do. Now, that doesn't always happen in life. Sometimes their mother gets upset. Sometimes their father gets upset as their behavior. From little babies screaming all night long and they get no sleep. And just when they think they got rest and they just fall asleep into that deep sleep, screaming breaks out. And that doesn't usually make mom and dad too happy. Not the fact that mom don't understand or dad don't understand. That's what happens with babies. But when they come in, sometimes the baby's got smiles on its face. It's got coos. A lot of times because it wants to please that mother, please that father, to let them know that they're glad that they've arrived for that. From our parents to our grandparents to older siblings, I honestly can't say that myself I sought to please my older siblings. I was more seeking to stay away from them that they didn't beat me up or throw me into a closet or something. But I've seen that with siblings, how that they look after an older brother or something. I've seen that in life and stuff, how the little one will look at an older brother. And actually, I did a little bit admire my oldest brother. It was like 10 and a half years older than me and stuff, of things and stuff. I had this hunger to please him that he might be pleased and he might give me something. But he was like my dad and like I turned out, very cheap. And not one to be good at handing out things. But I've grown in that area. I hope you've seen that. But the list continues. We seek to please our employers. We want to make them happy so that they feel like we're doing a good job. And ultimately that we may be rewarded for pleasing them in a way that's productive and stuff. And it continues on. And by most nature, you know, we desire to please others. That in doing so, we hope that they know how much we care about them, you know, and desire to show them our desire to be in this relationship. Even if it's an employer and we seek to please that employer so that they might know that we want to be part of that company, that we want to have that position, that they know that we hunger to do a good job so that they might look good in front of their bosses and such. You know, so there is that continual desire. Now, does that always happen? No, it doesn't always happen. But at the same time, it doesn't always happen for the same reasons. A desire could be based on different underlying reasons, like I just sort of discussed. But regarding our family, it's based on love. I truly believe that a child, I'll go off to a rabbit for a second here. It just remembered me of a story of a turkey. when we had a fall fest where we went out with the church up in Michigan, and there was like horse rides and all this kind of stuff, and we had bonfire and a hay ride and all that kind of stuff, and we went to this like farm thing, and the guy who owned the farm and ran the thing, there's this turkey that was probably like this tall. He was the biggest turkey I'd ever seen in my life. And that thing was like a little puppy dog or like a little child following its parent. And it was on his heels everywhere he went, it went. And if he did something, it wanted to make sure it pleased him. Now, again, that was a rabbit going off. But he loved it. He loved its owner. You know, but at the same time, we as children, we love our parents. And we do. We want to please them because we love them. Not because we have to. Not because we're afraid of them, or at least it shouldn't be because we're afraid of the consequences if we don't. But we usually do it because even inside us, we hunger to let them know, I do love you. My actions might not always show that, but I do love you, and I want that acceptance. And sometimes when parents don't reciprocate that, it can become even stronger, but for the wrong reasons. Because they're still fighting for acceptance, and they're seeking that they know they love them. They're trying to please them because they're trying to get acceptance. That should never be. That should never be the fact of a child, that a child has to seek after knowing that the parent knows they love them based on getting acceptance. But you know that happens. But our love for them, as our parents especially, I think, causes us to go above and beyond what we would normally do for one another, what we would normally do for a stranger, you know, or even a friend. you know, through pleasing them. Sometimes parents feel that teenagers lose that desire. Somewhere there's a broken link in the brain of a teenager. They hit that year, and all of a sudden you think that they no longer know what it's like to please their parents. But that's not the fact. It's the fact that we go through changes and things don't always happen. But I can tell you that children always want their parents to know that they love them, even when things don't act out the way that they want them to act out. They still want them to know that they love them and that they want to be loved at the same time. They're just challenged. Teenagers are just challenged more in fulfilling it as their flesh fights the changes that are going into them, fights their search for independence as an individual that happens because of who we are in our human nature, that fights with their search for individuality, you know. But at the end of the day, my friend, children always want their parents to know they love them. And I think if you look at your life when you were a child, I know that you probably would say the same thing. Though you never carried it out, you always tried your best to make sure that your parents knew that you loved them and you wanted everything to do. Now, this message assumes that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as we seek, you know, to please God. And so if you're here without Christ, this message isn't the same for you, but my friends, through repentance and faith, you can have that personal relationship with God. You can have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And since I don't know your heart, and you can have a greater walk to please Him than even you have with your fleshly family, you know, your human family and your friends and your loved ones around. It's a relationship unlike any other. Proverbs 16:7 says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." Think about that. That when a man's ways pleases the Lord, even his enemies are at peace. Now, this is surely a great benefit, but our desire to please the Lord should not be because of pleasing our enemy and making our enemies pleased, but because of our love for Him. For the believer, there's a characteristics that are evident, I think, that in turn cause us to naturally seek to please God. And when these characteristics aren't evident in a child of God's life, then you can notice that their day-to-day activities aren't based on pleasing God, aren't based on walking to please Him, but more so based on walking to please themselves. But my friend, there is no greater joy, there is no greater happiness, there is no greater feeling of completeness than when you walk to please Him. So tonight I want to talk about some of these characteristics, you know, and it always starts just like this morning. One of the characteristics for tonight is starts with a new life. A new life. See, nothing can, that innate ability to please God just does not come like the innate ability that is embedded in us in our DNA when we're born that seeks to please our mother, that seeks to please our father, that wants to make our grandparents happy. That's not the same for a person outside of Christ. For God, we don't have that innate ability. It's been broken through the cause of sin, the effects of sin. But in Christ, it starts with a new life, and that new life is the first characteristic that causes us to be able to seek to please Him. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, if you want to turn there, Romans 6:4 says, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." Over in Romans 8:1 it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Just as God has implanted in you, my friend, as a child of God, an innate desire to please our parents when we're born, outside of Christ, our spouses, because we love them and have been joined together, we as God's children, through our new birth, should possess an innate desire to please him. It's a natural result of the new birth. So that first characteristic must be present for someone to show evidence that they're seeking to please him and not please just others or themselves. Everything falls into place when we seek to please him first and foremost, him being the Lord God, the Father. And we seek that by letting Christ live in and through us and letting him be supreme. For when Christ is glorified, therefore the Father is glorified in heaven. And so all our stuff that we might do to lift Christ up before a lost and dying world, that we might let the Spirit of Christ work in and through us, brings glory to the Father. That was Jesus' desire. That should be our desire, to be ambassadors of Christ. And as we walk by faith and not by sight, and with due diligence, that we might walk in pleasing him, and in doing so, we please the Father. And the Father is therefore pleased, and he sees our love for him because of his love. But it's his love that first is passed to us through the new life that focuses on that. So it must start with a new life. And that's why I say that this message is primarily to those that, you know Christ, that have that new life, that have experienced Christ, you know, through repentance and faith, the new birth, as they say. What allows us to walk to please him, though? Well, we start with faith. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is critical for a child to come to new life, for the new birth, but it's critical for a child of God to walk to please him and not themselves. When we walk with faith that he will perform in us a good work, we are able to walk to please him. When we get our eyes on walking based on faith, we will perform in ourselves good works. It'll be evident. It'll naturally flow. But just as salvation is by grace through faith, faith is always a conduit that causes our actions to produce that which is righteous in God's eyes, that which is holy and upright and pleasing to God. We must walk in faith, knowing that he will perform a good work in you. Faith in performing a good work in me. It's important for this to happen. We must also walk in the Spirit. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, seeking after the will of God, letting the Holy Spirit who lives within you as a believer to guide your thoughts, to guide your actions, to direct you in the path of righteousness, to convict you when you get off the path of righteousness, to get back on, being sensitive to the ways of God to be worked out in your life through his word that he has given us. The directives that we talked about this morning. And that was just like a minute part of all that God has given us throughout his word on how that we might walk. And the do's that he has for us. And if we would heed those dues by walking in the Spirit, leaning not unto our own understanding, but unto his, and letting him reign and rule in our life through the Holy Spirit, by not filling our lives with things that quench and grieve the Holy Spirit, then we're able to walk to please him. And when we do that, it provides a characteristic within us of consistency. Turn over to Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Consistency is so critical for the child of God. For us to effectively walk in a path that pleases him, we must not just seek to do it now and then, but every day of every week, of every month, of every year. Consistency. Being consistent in the things that please him. Being consistent in seeking his will and his way in our life. Do we fail? Yes. Are we going to be perfect in that? No. But our hunger to be consistent in our walk and in all that we do is what brings pleasure to God. It's what shows God we really do. We really are serious about living for him. We really are serious about being a child of God within this lost and dying world. And we do really appreciate all that Christ did for us that we have in him. We'll never be able to do it, and we definitely can't do it for our salvation. But we should do it to please him for all that he did for us and all that he continues to do for us on a daily basis, even when we're not walking faithful, even when we're not walking to please him. God's blessings still tend to pour out upon us despite that, because he's merciful and full of grace, and he loves his children, and he wants the best for you and I as his children. And so when we walk by faith and we walk in the Spirit and we produce a consistent lifestyle, then out of all that will come our ability to have a characteristic that's based on love and is defined by love. And that's in Ephesians 5:2, if you want to turn there. Paul says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, sometimes when we read God's word, we read it and we pass by like the first sentence. You know, how many lived in a workplace where their work was dominated by emails? You know, there's probably a few of us. And sometimes you get an email or you send somebody an email and they quickly reply and you think, did they even read my email? It was like plain as day. It was the first sentence of what they needed to do. And what did they do? They responded to something two paragraphs down and completely skipped what I wanted them most to see first and foremost. I want you to get sometimes when we read God's word, we need to read and focus on every word, and especially on this verse here where he says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Forget the rest. Now the rest is critical and important for us to be a child of God. We would never be a child of God if he had not given himself for us. But the key thing tonight I want you to get as we walk to please him, and a characteristic out of that, is that we walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. How did he love us? Beyond just he provided us salvation. Beyond just that he provided us an escape from hell. And the great lake of fire where the worm dieth not. Beyond all that, but into a path of how that he hungered for the best of us. He hungered for our joy to be fulfilled. He hungered for the very fiber of who we are would really know the Father above as he knows the Father above. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. He's our pattern. He's our mentor. I know it's crude, but just like that turkey that followed that guy, or we see like little children, like even my youngest grandson, Isaiah, a lot of times he will like cling onto his mom's legs as she's trying to walk and stuff, and he wants something. That's what we need to do for Christ. We need to cling to him that we might know his love for us, so that we might pass that and transfer that to the others around us. Because that's the love that changes lives. That's the love that makes man whole, that makes man complete. That's the love that sustains you and will sustain them in the toughest of times. It's the love that Christ hath loved us with. That's the love we need to have. Not just a brotherly love, but a love that Christ hath loved us with. Letting the love of God in us to be what constrains us. As Paul said, to see the best of others, starting with their salvation, first and foremost, as I said this morning in the message, how that Paul wished himself to be accursed, that his brethren might know Christ, if it was possible. He hungered for that. Do we hunger for the best of others around us, starting with our family's salvation, with their souls, with their eternal destiny? Then that will result in a sweet-smelling Savior before the Lord. And that's what we should hunger for. Walking circumspectly. Turn over to Ephesians 5:15. Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." You know, in life, most people walk to please themselves, and most people walk to make it to the next day, to make it through that day and make it to the beyond. What's your goal for today? To make it through the day. That's what many will tell you. And sadly, many people who are entrenched in the ways of the world, that's all they have to hope for, is to just make it through today. And so they walk to please themselves. They walk to get all that they can get out of that day, for tomorrow may not be. And so they might as well take it while they can get it and do it. But for the child of God, my friend, we need to walk circumspectly. We need to walk seriously, because the time is short and the time is valuable. And a night cometh when no man can work. And that means the night cometh when you and I will no longer have the ability to influence others for the cause of Christ, that they might know Christ in the free pardon of sin. That they might know Christ as their personal Savior. That they may no longer be burdened by the sin that chains them down, that they're even blind to right now. And for the wayward child of God, that they might know that it's not the things of the world that is going to please them short term, but it's the ways of God and walking seriously in God where joy truly is, and satisfaction and peace. And when you close your eyes on your pillow at night, you can say, "I've done all I can do to please him," and say it confidently, as you can possibly do. If you can do that, and you know that that was your heart's desire through that day, then be satisfied and close your eyes in peace and rest peacefully. But if not, well, don't stay up all night worrying, but ask God to give you the strength to tomorrow to make it right and to do better, to take this life seriously for Him. Because that's how we get the joy. When we see a lost soul come to Christ, when we see a wayward child of God get his or her life right and start walking path and experience the joy that truly comes from walking by faith and not by sight, that's true joy. That's pleasure, because we see God working. And true joy really comes when we see God's work within our lives and within the lives of those around us that we've had the privilege to be in effect on. And so we should do that. And then a characteristic is walking in the light of His presence. 1 John 1:7, if you want to turn there. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Again, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, that's not the light as sunshine, but the light of holiness. And that's the light that will shine in glory, and why we won't need a physical sun, because the Son of God will be our light. It's the light that shows perfection, completion, a light that is pure and clear and not tinged with any foreign substance or any tinting. It's a clear light, and it's a beautiful light. And then last characteristic is walking in Him, obviously. 1 John 2:6 says, "He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked." We can't live to walk to please Him if we are not walking in Him. So, as is important for new life to be at the front, as it's as important for walking in Him to be at the back end as your anchor. Because that's what sustains us, and that's what truly causes us to please Him when we're walking in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the ways that He walked, the paths that He had trod for us, the roads that He had pathed out prior to us, walking in those paths. In the beginning, I made the statement that this message is based on the assumption of you being a child of God, that you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And if you're here now, or you're watching on TV, or you listen through the internet and such, and you do not possess a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then my friend, all these characteristics that I talk about are foreign to you and are ones you cannot relate to. No worries, though, because my Savior said to me, and He says to you, "Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out." That's great news, my friend. So if you're without Christ, there's still hope. Turn toward Jesus. Come to Him. He won't cast you out. He won't turn you away. Repent of your sin and turn to Jesus as your only hope for everlasting life and for a life with a relationship with the Father of heaven above. And my friend, He won't cast you out, but He'll pull you in and bring you into the arms of His everlasting love. How great is that? Do you desire to have a life where the love you have for your loved ones can become a love that you never thought was possible or capable of possessing? Then it's the only availability through the new birth, through knowing Jesus Christ, through a new life that comes as a child of God. As the Apostle Paul told the Philippian jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved," it's the same for you, my friend. Same for you. It's no less true now than it was then. He will save. But believing starts with a knowledge of your need. You must know that you need him. You must realize that you're a sinner, and that in that sin you stand guilty before a holy God that cannot accept it. And that sin requires a penalty, and that penalty is death. And not just physical death, but eternal death and suffering, where you're cast into hell one day to be raised up, to be cast again into outer darkness, into the lake of fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And to understand that everything you do and say and try to do and say has no abilities to change that fact. But yet, through God's love, he sent Christ to the cross to pay your sin debt, to pay that penalty to you, if you would turn toward him through faith and repentance. Where are you tonight as an unsaved person? And as a child of God, do we understand and appreciate all that God has done to us to bring us into that marvelous light? A new life. And even more, life more abundantly through Jesus Christ. Beyond that new life that we first experienced. So I ask you, if you're lost, will you believe? And look to the Savior, who's the only one that'll get you to the Father. And child of God, I ask you, are these characteristics evidence of your life? Are you walking to please him? I'm not saying in a generic way. I'm speaking in a serious way. Do you really want God to know your love for him? He knows I love him. Isn't that what Peter said? I love you, Lord. He said, do you love me? Yeah, I love you, Lord. Do you love me? Lord, you know my love for you. God wants your love. He wants you to walk to please him. Does he need it? No. But he desires that from each and every one of his children. Because that's how true fellowship is completed. Is when we walk in love one to another. He's walking in love to us. But do we have evidence of these characteristics that show our walk to him? That we're walking to please him? And again, if you're here lost without Christ, remember what I said earlier and what Jesus said. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Father, thank you for this evening you've given us. You've brought us back together. You've given us your word. And your word is light and life more abundantly. And Father, as your child, you've placed within me so much of your love, so much of your blessings, and yet I've provided back so little, showing my love for you. Father, may I walk in the light of your love. May these characteristics that were brought tonight be evident in my life as I seek for them to be evident of those that are here and listening abroad. Father, only then can we understand what a true relationship in Christ is, and what joy that you want to be perfected in our lives. Speak to the hearts of each one that is here tonight, including myself. Forgive me of my sins, my shortcomings, and Lord, if there's someone here without Christ, I pray for their salvation before it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.